A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, giving thanks to God our Father for making us fit to share the light which saints inherit, for rescuing us from the power of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom, in his blood, we find the redemption that sets us free from our sins. He is the true likeness of the God we cannot see. His is that first birth which precedes every act of creation. Yes, in him all created things took their being, heavenly and earthly, visible and invisible. What are thrones and dominions? What are princedoms and powers? They were all created through him and in him. He takes precedency of all, and in him all subsist. He too is that head whose body is the church. It begins with him, since his was the first birth out of death. Thus, in every way, the primacy was to become his. It was God's good pleasure to let all completeness dwell in him and through him, to win back all things, whether on earth or in heaven, into union with himself, making peace with them through his blood shed on the cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. I invite you to stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Pilate asked Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" "Dost thou say this of thy own accord?" Jesus answered, "or is it what others have told thee of me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? It is thy own nation and its chief priests who have given thee up to me. What offense hast thou committed?" "My kingdom," said Jesus, "does not belong to this world. If my kingdom were one which belonged to this world, my servants would be fighting to prevent my falling into the hands of the Jews. But no, my kingdom does not take its origin here." "Thou art a king then?" Pilate asked. And Jesus answered, "It is thy own lips that have called me a king. What I was born for, what I came into the world for, is to bear witness to the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Thus far the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. I know he's trying to hide from us, but I'm sure some of you can see that our own Father Dilger has finally returned back to his altar, as he has said more than once. And it is a pleasure to have you here, brother. It is good to celebrate Mass in your presence under the careful and watchful eye of the Master, who I'm sure will have some feedback for me after Mass. And we are praying for you, and I know they can't wait, but I know I can't wait either for you to get back up on that altar. So let's give thanks to God for a good surgery and prayers for good health. Thank you for being here, brother. God bless you. Also, my sisters and brothers, we had a nice little conversation last Sunday after Mass. It was about, you know, moving forward as a community, and next month, after the third Sunday potluck, basically, we're going to have another kind of get-together to help folks perhaps understand what it takes to run a parish and how we can be a part of the great things that are going on here at St. Mary's. At that meeting, we also kind of agreed, anyway, at least I thought we did, that one way to show our thanks to St. Mary's Parish for Saints Mary and John for taking us in upon the closure of Holy Trinity was perhaps to give something to the parish as a tangible sign of our thanks. There's a number of sacred vessels that now belong to Saints Mary and John that made its way over from Holy Trinity, and they're cracked, they're breaking, and the ones that aren't breaking, they're clearly in need of some tender, loving care, right? So there are two ciboria that we have sent off as of Friday, this past Friday. We sent them off to have them repaired and replated. Both the ciboria together, all told, the cost will be to the parish, the estimated cost, $1,850. Someone has already stepped forward to offer the first 1,000 of that. And so if among the rest of you, if you could speak with me, if you would like to perhaps give something to this, let me know. I think it's a good way for this community to come together and to express its thanks to St. Mary's and preserve the patrimony that has been handed down to us. Again, we need another $850. I think that's pretty reasonable. And so if you would like to give and would like perhaps to take a look at what I'm talking about, please feel free to come talk to me after Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thou art a king then, Pilate asks Jesus. Pilate trying to back him into a corner. Pilate, at the same time, trying to find a way to let Jesus go. And yet Jesus says, very clearly, it is your mouth that has called me a king. Good Roman legal procedure. A good Roman would never simply say yes to a question. He would say, you have said so. That's a way of saying yes. And so Jesus reveals to Pilate that indeed he is king. King of the world, king of the universe, king of our hearts. Pilate is only concerned is, his only concern was, is Jesus trying to be king of Rome at the same time? And Jesus more or less blows him off. And he's like, of course I'm king of Rome. But at the same time, my kingdom is not of this world. My sisters and brothers, the kingdom is all around us. The kingdom is not of this world, but it is the whole world. All the world is meant to belong to Christ Jesus. And you and I, my sisters and brothers, are meant to give our hearts over to him. We are members of the royal family. Jesus has made you and I members of his body. You are the prince or princess that your parents let you believe you were when you were children, right? Because you are members of that royal family. Christ is your king. So the challenge is to make him king of your entire heart, king of your opinions, king of your desires, king of your hopes and dreams, king of your fears, king of your wallet, king of everything. Because Christ it is who will direct all of it to your happiness and your salvation. That's what he wants, your salvation. He is also the king of hearts outside these four walls. But how many people do not know that Jesus wants to be their king? How many people don't know that God wants to make them members of the royal family? They're waiting for you to invite them. God has given you a part in that mission to save souls. And he asks you to bring people with you. Nobody goes to heaven alone. Nobody should come to Mass alone. Jesus wants to be king of all hearts, and he wants you to make that happen. There's this understanding that's only about 100 years old in the church that it is for the priests to work as missionaries. It is for the priests and the religious to bring people to Jesus and his church. That's not how things work. In the tradition, my sisters and brothers, and the Second Vatican Council reminded us of this, the ancient tradition of the church is that the missions are staffed, the mission is done by the laity. I'm here to empower you to go out there to get them, to bring them here so I can empower them. Do you see what I mean? This is the cycle. This is how it works. God has entrusted with you the mission to bring people to his holy church, the one source of salvation, the one thing, one of four things that everybody in this universe needs. There are only four things that are good for everybody without exception, right? Air, food, water, and the Catholic Church, right? This is what's good for absolutely everybody. And God wants you to bring them. He counts on you. You are not only a member of the royal family, you are also a royal ambassador, sent out to invite, to encourage, to affirm, and to bring people closer to Jesus, his church, and his sacraments. By doing so, you win for yourself a place in heaven, and you bring people along with you. That's what God wants. He wants you to bring as many people possible with you when we pray you are in that number when the saints go marching in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.